It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Ebola, a potentially fatal virus, is currently making international headlines due to an outbreak in Africa with at least 887 deaths and over 1,600 cases since March. The head of the World Health Organization has said the disease is moving faster than efforts to curb it, with potentially catastrophic consequences, including a high risk that it will spread. Meanwhile, as more details have surfaced on an experimental treatment, health officials are trying to calm fears that an outbreak could happen here. I'm joined now by phone by Dr. Bruce McLeod. He's president of the Pennsylvania Medical Society and a physician with the Allegheny Health Network. Dr. McLeod, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And if you have a comment or question about the Ebola virus, you can join us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002 to take part in our conversation. Email address ESSPGH@WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EP Live. Bruce McLeod, there are still plenty of people who don't understand what the Ebola virus is exactly. Explain what the virus is.
Well, it's a hemorrhagic virus, which is makes it highly virulent, meaning it's very dangerous. It's actually transmitted from an animal vector. Actually, it turns out it's probably the fruit bat in Africa. It is a virus which attacks your vascular system and makes your blood vessels leaky so that it leads to hemorrhages or bleeding, hence the name hemorrhagic virus.
And how do you contract it?
Well, you contract it, it's important to recognize that all of Ebola is in Africa, so it's related to the transmission from animals. It's believed that it's carried by the fruit bat who carry the virus, then eat some fruit, drop it on the ground, and then maybe the monkeys or gorillas then eat some of it contracted or other animals contracted. And then when African citizens then cook the animals, whether they be the, then they eat them, they then become infected, or they get exposed to the feces or any sort of bodily fluids from these animals, they contract it. And then if you notice also, most of the episodes have occurred in what would be rural or poor areas of Africa. And if you've, you know, if you've ever been to Africa, I lived there actually when I was a kid, but not recently. They're very poor, very rural. You think your most rural areas of the United States, and then probably worse than that. So these are places where the sanitation is a big challenge. Clean water is a big challenge. The idea that most of the healthcare facilities there do the best they can and reuse materials. So it's very hard to keep bodily fluids separate. So this is what leads to the rapid, or what's leading to the communicability of this disease process.
And how long does it take for symptoms to appear?
Usually it's within a few days. The problem is that you don't initially present as any febrile or like fever illness. It looks a lot like the flu, all the things you get with the flu, so it's not really discriminating that way. Fevers, you have muscle aches, you feel tired, you may have some diarrhea, some nausea, headache. So which sounds a lot like the flu. It's not until you start developing the rash where your blood vessels are starting to leak or you're vomiting blood or having bloody diarrhea that you really have the severe symptoms. And then by then, it can be quite dangerous.
What threat, if any, does Ebola pose to Pennsylvania?
At this point, none. There's never been a case of Ebola outside of Africa. So while folks are concerned about it, Ebola is transmitted by secretions, by human secretions. So you have to be exposed to the blood or the feces or vomit or saliva. It's not as communicable as, let's say, influenza, where you can, sneeze or get the cold. I mean, when we have had outbreaks of influenza, those are much more communicable than the Ebola virus. The Ebola virus comes by being exposed to secretion. So for it to become, for it to be transmitted or for there to be some sort of epidemic here, that would be highly unlikely. I think that the United States, especially in the healthcare environment, we're used to dealing with patients that have potentially much more communicable diseases than Ebola virus.
It's not an airborne disease.
It's one that's transmitted by by human secretion. So in that case, it's more, if you're going to, it's akin to HIV or AIDS, which is only can only be transmitted by, again, human secretions.
And
so
what?
That's it. So those precautions, and, you know, there's folks walking around on, you know, all the time with that disease, and we, you know, they ride buses with us. They're in shows. You know, if you go to the shows, they're with you. You're not going to catch the disease that way.
Our guest is Dr. Bruce McLeod. He is president of the Pennsylvania Medical Society and a physician with the Allegheny Health Network. You can join the conversation if you have a question for Dr. McLeod, 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Dr. McLeod, what happens in the event that someone with symptoms and a travel history to any infected regions is identified? What is the procedure there?
Well, that actually came up. The procedure, someone gets through the net, and we'll talk about the net that's probably around the United States right now about Ebola. But if someone were to come through and, for example, come to an emergency department and say, you know, I've got the flu and I've got this rash, and, oh, by the way, I did a volunteer mission in Liberia, and I just got back a week ago, well, what would happen is that they would be put into an isolation room, which all emergency departments have, with negative flow, which actually isn't that necessary. Then everybody that contacts the patient would be using universal precautions, which is a gown, a mask, and gloves. We'd have the usual care. We now have a lot of our sharps or our needles and things like that have some safety engineering to reduce the likelihood of being a healthcare worker being stuck with a needle. And then we follow the usual precautions that we do with patients with communicable diseases like tuberculosis or C. difficile colitis or active HIV.
And so a second American Ebola patient has arrived in the U.S. for care, and there's been a concern that bringing these ill Americans home will cause spread of the disease in the United States. Is this a reasonable concern?
I don't believe so. I think that, from my perspective, as the greatest nation on earth, and that can be, obviously, I'm not trying to be pejorative there or raise any hack, but I think that if you're sick, I would want to go to the United States of America, and because that's where you're going to get the best care. And I think that if you're a United States citizen and you have a disease process, we have the ability to offer you the best care to try to improve and say this is one of ours. We need to take care of them. We have the ability to do it. We have the technology. There's no cure for Ebola. But what we do have is we have the best intensive care units, and we have the best resources to support their blood pressures, to support their fluids, any bleeding they have. And so I think that you'd have your best chance of by coming back home and being taken care of. So the chance of it being transmitted to the rest of the country, even to other patients or staff members at Grady Hospital in Atlanta, is extremely low, and the idea of it being a pandemic is highly, highly unlikely.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Jennifer in Pittsburgh. Jennifer, you're on with Dr. Bruce McLeod.
Hello.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
I was calling in to ask about with Ebola. I was just listening. I think it was a recording or somebody talking to me about how Pennsylvania, or not Pennsylvania, but the United States, having a very good healthcare system. So if somebody was indeed infected with Ebola, that they would want to come back home.
Yeah, that was Dr. That was Dr. McLeod just now.
That was Dr. Okay,
yes.
Okay, that was him.
Boy, it sounded like a recording.
It did.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if that's a compliment or what. I'm going to have to vary my voice more, I guess.
We're live. We're live, Jennifer.
We're live.
Well, I mean, I guess in listening to your response, I could definitely see it from that perspective, but being the fact that there's no cure, you're only putting more people at risk. You know what I mean?
You're talking about allowing people who have the Ebola virus to return to the United States?
Coming back to the United States, yes, including doctors that have been infected.
Well, it's a good point, and it's a reasonable concern. Dr. McLeod, there are precautions that are taken, and certainly these patients in Atlanta are quarantined, and I think we saw one of the two who are carrying Ebola yesterday. There were pictures of this gentleman who had a suit on. It didn't look like there was any way he could possibly make physical contact with anybody other than himself.
Yes, I think that the chance of it being transmitted is extremely low, and you can be assured. I mean, if I was in their shoes, and that's the only thing, I haven't talked to anybody there. If I was in their shoes, the worst thing that could happen would be if somebody else got infected. So I have to imagine that they're doing extraordinary measures to make sure that everybody's safe, that taking care of this patient, and by the same token, making sure that there's no chance that any, you know, secretions or bodily fluids from this patient are going to be exposed to anybody. So I'm sure they're going through extraordinary measures to make sure that, you know, there's no communicability. Again, it's not something that you can get by just being on the bus with somebody. I mean, you have to, it has to have more, you have to have more intimate contact than that to get it from a patient. So the chance of it causing a pandemic is really very low. You have to remember that the kind of the basic structure that we have in our United States in terms of clean water, and everybody has their own home, and people get buried by funeral homes, and they're not buried by their family. These are all things that would prevent the spread of the disease, which they're working through over in Africa. In Africa, I mean, if you die, your family has to prepare you for burial. And so what happens if you died of Ebola? Your family has to prepare you, and hence are exposed to someone who just died of the disease, and that's one of the big problems they've had to deal with.
So is a lot of this about stopping the outbreak at the source in Africa?
It's basic public health initiatives. And I think it's hard sometimes here in the United States for us to imagine what's going on over there, because they live a completely different life than we do in terms of their communal living, some of their daily habits, how they get food, and how it's just very different than what we're used to there. So to try to break the habits that are causing the spread of the disease is what's the big challenge in Africa there right now.
So talk about the net that you said is set up to prevent people from going to Europe and spreading the disease, from coming to the United States and spreading the disease. How does all this work? How are people who are carrying the disease, how are they tracked and followed to make sure that they are not spreading it to anybody else outside of the continent of Africa?
So when you, if you've done any international traveling, you know, you go through customs, and if they know that you came from the area of Africa that is infected right now, you are going to be quarantined until you've proven that you don't have Ebola. If you come into Philadelphia or you're coming from any international airports, you're going to go through a quarantine process so that you don't expose it. And that's going to happen at all. There's really only two ways that you're going to be able to get from Africa to the United States, right? It's going to be a plane or a boat. I don't think you can take a train. I don't think you can walk here. So those are the two areas that you're going to get. And so they're going to screen everybody that comes over by those ways before they come into the United States.
Is it possible that an international visitor with Ebola could travel into the U.S. without anyone being aware of it?
Sure. I mean, if the person doesn't express it, hey, I was there, you can certainly come in. If someone says, no, I'm from France, not Sierra Leone or something like that, then, you know, they may not get quarantined, and they could develop symptoms and then present to our healthcare system, and then we'd have to deal with that. And we're prepared to deal with that. I think there's been a lot of discussion about it from your show here, and everybody talking about it. There's a lot of publicity about it, and I can tell you that we did a public press release yesterday with the state government and our physician general for Pennsylvania. They're on high alert. All the health departments are on high alert. This is discussed amongst the emergency medicine community. And so if there is a patient that presents, I think that folks are sensitized to what to look for, what to ask for, and are prepared to act.
An experimental vaccine against Ebola has been successfully tested with monkeys, and there is hope that it could become available as early as next July. What can you tell us about this?
Unfortunately, not much. I think that with every vaccine that's developed, you hope that once it's tested on primates, that it could be successful on humans. We don't know. There's been there have been vaccines which have gone to the primate stage, which don't look or don't work or cause too many complications in once applied to humans. So I'm hopeful because that would certainly help to prevent the outbreak of this, you know, this really ravaging disease. I mean, a mortality rate between 50% and 90% is really, you know, just about as deadly a disease as we have on this earth right now.
And but isn't this vaccine, isn't this mystery serum already being used on the patients who returned from Africa with Ebola to the United States?
I'm not exactly sure. I thought that there was some antiviral or retroviral therapy that they might be trying because it's a virus, and we do have some, you know, antiviral therapy that we're using now for hepatitis C or management of AIDS, which are all viral diseases. That they may imagine or want to try on the Ebola virus. I just, as it is right now, these are all experimental protocols that are being tried. And the other hard part there is not, again, these disease processes are taking place in rural Africa where it's, you know, you just don't have the, you don't have the large healthcare systems that we're used to here in the United States or in Europe. These are rural areas, and it's hard to get these diseases and hard to study what's going to be effective on these patients.
Let's go to Andy in Shadyside. Andy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Dr. Bruce McLeod.
Hi. Unfortunately, you just addressed my question. I was wondering if you knew anything about the ZMAP, the monoclonal antibody that was used potentially on Dr. Brantley.
Well, I think I don't know a lot about it other than it's an experimental. If it's you know, monoclonal antibody therapy is, you know, we have a lot of hopes for that in medicine as being targeted therapy. It would certainly be good. It would be a, you know, a study of one person and anecdotal. And as, you know, scientists, we yearn to try our therapies on controlled populations so that we can see that we're causing, that we're helping our disease processes, not making it worse, and also understanding what the doses that are necessary as well. So, you know, we hope and pray because it really is a very high mortality disease, and hopefully this would be something that could be offered and could be then delivered to sites if we ever have, if this, for example, in helping to control this outbreak or if there's another outbreak that comes.
Dr. Bruce McLeod has been our guest. Dr. McLeod talking with us about the Ebola virus. He is president of the Pennsylvania Medical Society and a physician with the Allegheny Health, with the Allegheny Health Network. Dr. McLeod, we know you're busy. Thank you so much for taking time to join us here on the program today. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime. Take care.
You too. Coming up, we'll take you on a musical pilgrimage through sights around the city. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.